When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to equip you with all the evidence-based advice that you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, a registered nutritionist, best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, and founder of Retrition, London's leading private nutrition clinic. In each episode, I'll be joined by special guests, all of whom can be considered authoritative voices in health, so that together we can learn fact from fiction and empower the healthiest and happiest versions of ourselves with trusted expert advice. We've all been there, quickly popping to the shops to pick up a few essentials and come out laden with products, many of which we didn't actually need. You'd think we'd learn after this has happened a couple of times, especially with not wanting the food to go to waste and to help reducing our spending. But the thing is that supermarkets, they've very cleverly devised ways to encourage us to buy more than necessary time and time again. This week's Food for Thought sees TV presenter and author Chris Bavin and I examine the psychology that goes into our shopping and suggest how we can all become better buyers. Hello, Chris.
Hello, how are you?
I am very, very well. I think we're both in the same situation. We've both got little bubbas in our life at the moment and we're both chronically sleep deprived, but we're good, right?
Oh, we wouldn't have it any other way, would we? Bless them.
Bless
those little treasures. Yes, no, obviously there's lots of challenges. And, you know, the recent events have thrown up a few more challenges for us parents. But listen, I'm not going to moan about it. We're in a far better position than many. So, yeah, you know, we appreciate where we are and we're glad. So, yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to talk about something completely different today, but something that you're very, very apt to discuss and comment on, and that is that the way we shop, I mean, it's pretty much changed completely over the last year, obviously because of COVID. At one point we didn't really have access to the shops, did we? But have we in general become more savvy shoppers, do you think, or are we spending more?
Well, both, actually. We are in some regards becoming more savvy, and in some instances the average food spend is coming down. You know, we spend a smaller percentage of our household income on groceries than ever before. But there are obviously lots of variables within that. You know, cost of living is going up, etc. So I think in some regards, yes, we are more aware of what food costs, what we want to be buying, you know, where our food comes from, you know, the provenance, the welfare, all of these things. But then on the other hand, marketing has developed and evolved at a far greater pace, so we're sort of not really catching up, you know. So, you know, yes, we are a bit more aware of what's going on, but also the industry is just exploding around us and we're probably not equipped to deal with it, to be honest.
Yeah, you put it so clearly, the two sides there. When you think about it, I hadn't really thought about the fact that perhaps we're not keeping up with it all, which I guess it is just moving so fast. And a lot of the time, there's lots of tricks, aren't there, as well, that supermarkets can use. And I guess one example would be that the popular products can often be placed, can't they, at the back. So you're kind of forced to walk around the shop a bit more and then try and see more items on your way. And then you put more in your trolley, don't you?
Yeah, so it's a really fine balance, that, actually. What they're trying to do, there is an optimum amount of time to keep you in a supermarket, because if you're not in for long enough, you won't spend enough money. But then, by the same token, if you are there for too long and you can't find enough of what it is you want, then you will become sort of disillusioned and fed up and impatient with the whole process, and possibly not maximize or optimize your shop. So it's, you know, this is a science. They have turned our grocery shop into an exact science. You know, we are just bits of data walking around this supermarket, you know, being guided and manipulated and led and all of these sorts of things. So it's a fascinating area. And I think actually the supermarkets, you know, although they are trying to encourage us to part with as much money as possible, I don't think they're actually utilizing all the technology that they have, you know, all that data that they have on us. I don't think we've seen the finished article yet. I think there's more to come. I think, you know, we'll be looking at lots of different things like personalized shopping, like, you know, go, hey, Rhiannon, you know, you like, you know, Ben and Jerry's cookie dough ice cream.
I do, actually.
I know you do. but you know, imagine saying that like personally to you,
yeah,
and saying it's on offer today. You haven't bought any for 10 days. You must be running low. Oh. You know, this is the sort of information that they're compiling about each and every one of us. And it is a fascinating, but this isn't just happening shopping. This is happening in every element of our lives now. You know, is a surveillance capitalism. You know, data is the new gold, data is the new oil. And the more they know about us as consumers and our habits and what we're going to buy, you know, the more they can sell us, and the more they sell us, the more money they make. But I think, first of all, to go back to your original point, sorry, yeah, you're absolutely right. The layout is critical. So, you know, the milk and the bread and your sort of essentials, if you like, are generally at the furthest corner of the shop, meaning that you have to pretty much navigate the whole shop to go and get the essentials and then start sort of working your way back. And, you know, they want you in the freezer section last, and they realise that you're going to spend the least amount of time in there because it's cold, it's already nice, and da 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 da. But it's, you know, I think it is a genuinely, genuinely interesting area. But I think the first piece of advice I would give your listeners, and for some reason we've got a bit of a blind spot when it comes to supermarkets. We sort of don't see them as businesses for some reason.
Yeah.
We sort of trust them implicitly. We go, oh, well, because they're enormous, because we need them all the time, because we use them all the time. They have sort of brainwashed us into sort of thinking, and not in a malevolent sort of way, but they have really done a great job in convincing us that they have our best interests at heart. And we sort of believe that.
Everything that you've said has made me think, have you ever seen the TV show, The Black Mirror?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like some episode should be done on a supermarket. You know, the setting of what's really going on. Are there cameras and the products and all this kind of bizarre stuff?
Charlie Brooke is probably writing it up as we speak. Yeah, I mean, listen, it sounds all a bit sort of far-fetched, doesn't it? And futuristic and a bit sinister. It's not. It's business. You know, at the end of the day, they've got shareholders and stock prices to try and protect, and they want to generate as much money. Businesses are entitled to make money. That's the whole point of a business. So to think that a supermarket is anything other than that is possibly a bit naive on our part. But I think going into that shop, knowing that they are trying to sell me as much as humanly possible, and they don't really have my best interests at heart. I mean, obviously they want me to be happy and they want me to continue to come back and they want to look after me. They want me to have a nice experience. Of course they do. But they don't really mind if I buy things that I didn't really want.
Oh,
and I might not even get round to eating.
No.
That's not really their problem. You know, I mean, obviously, again, there are real fine balances. There are real sort of, you know, nuanced points within that. Because if I'm continually overbuying and throwing food away, that reflects badly on my supermarket as well. So, you know, they want to maximise the spend within reason, I would say.
Well, yeah, but what about the own brand? So that's what brings me on to the next question. All of this is completely fascinating, by the way. I don't think I've ever looked at a supermarket in so much depth before. But on the shelves, often the more expensive stuff, would you say that's more at direct eye level rather than the own brand stuff, or rather the more expensive stuff is kind of pushed out of eye level and the own brand thing is kind of shoved in our faces, if you know what I mean?
Well, again, and I apologize, I'll start every answer with both. There's a really uneasy relationship. Well, not uneasy, but there's a bit of a tension between the supermarkets and big brands, because obviously, you know, the really big brands have quite a lot of power with the supermarkets. You know, they need, you know, your household names. They must have them. Otherwise, customers will be going elsewhere. Mm. So they have an obligation to have these big brands, but they don't make as much money from them as they do their own brands. Mm. So, you know, they obviously, when they sell their own brand stuff, they get sort of two bites at a cherry. You know, they get the money from making it and then they get the money from selling it. Whereas with the branded stuff, they only get the money from selling it. So they do put the big, more expensive brands, you know, the premium supermarket brands or your expensive big brands in a much more eye-catching, convenient, grabbable location. Mm. And then the cheaper stuff, what you normally find, you know, you need to get down on your hands and knees to the bottom shelf to sort of rummage around and get the deals. Very interestingly, actually. Well, I think it's very interesting.
You may
disagree.
I think we want to hear.
But, you know, we've got these discounters now in the UK, haven't we? Aldi and Lidl. Mm. And people perceive them as the very best value, the cheapest in the marketplace. But actually, they're not. If you go to the other major supermarkets, they will have products as cheap as Aldi and Lidl. But what Aldi and Lidl don't have is any choice. So if you go into the supermarket and you've got ketchup, bread, cornflakes, milk, whatever else on your shopping list, they will only have one version of that. You know, if you go in there to buy cornflakes, they will only have one type of cornflakes. Mm. And it's a good price. It is a good price.
Yeah.
But if you go to one of the major sort of supermarkets, they will have 10, 15, 20 different types.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Of all varying different prices, one of which will be cheaper than Aldi and Lidl, but that's the very, very cheapest. And we have this sort of guilt complex about not buying the absolute cheapest, which is why the discounter model is genius, because there is no guilt. You know, you haven't got, you know, the cheapest basic range or the own label, you know, entry-level own label in your trolley. Mm. You've only got a trolley full of food. There is no choice. There is no hierarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think people love, because
so, you know, they did an example for tuna.
Yeah.
How many different types of canned tuna or tinned tuna in one of the major leading supermarkets would you say?
Definitely over maybe like 4 or 5.
37.
No.
So
no.
Different packs. Yeah, absolutely. So different pack sizes, different brands, in you know, various different sort of, you know, whether it's in oil
goodness.
Or spring water.
My mind is blown.
All these different things. And in the discounters, there's 3. You had brine, spring water, and sunflower oil. That's it. So that sort of sums it up. The choice that we have in our supermarkets is extraordinary, which makes your shopping trip, or trying to shop, you know, economically, really hard. Because there is not, unless you are, you know, Rain Man or Stephen Hawking, there's no way you can process all the information that you're being fed.
No, definitely not. I mean, from my point of view, I'm a nutritionist, so I only ever really look at the back of a pack from the nutritionals. I hadn't even thought about the fact or computed the fact that there would be so many different types of one product there. And in one shop, of course, if there's no hierarchy, it just makes a decision tenfold easier. And I guess when it comes to pairing things as well, items you'd put together, does that mean they would put, I don't know, Let's pick tuna, because we just used tuna before. Tuna mayonnaise, they'd have the mayonnaise really far away from the tuna. So you have to go across the shop, like you said at the beginning, to look at everything before you get to the mayo.
there's an element of that. Sometimes they conveniently put sort of grouped products together. So you might, you know, if, I don't know, say you want nachos or tacos or whatever, then suddenly, you know, you've got the jalapenos there, you've got some salsa there, you've got, you know, some various different things. So you can sort of, you know, quickly grab like a meal solution if you like. But yeah, in many cases you have to then go to one place and then go, you know, 2-3 aisles down to get the next thing, and then 2-3 aisles down there. All the while, that's an opportunity for them to promote other products, try and sell you other products, you know.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not demonizing supermarkets. No. They do a marvelous job. Listen, I'm a greengrocer by trade. I love independent retailers, but I'm pro independent retailer, but that doesn't mean I'm anti supermarket. I think they've done a fabulous job, you know, and they've made, you know, food really quite affordable for many people, and you know, the fact that you can go there, you know, 24 hours a day and buy a flat screen telly or some saffron or a pair of pyjamas or whatever is just bonkers, isn't it? You know, they're so convenient, so convenient.
I mean, it's been a lifesaver in lockdown, let's be fair. The year we're recording this podcast, I think the only place you can go that's different from your home is a garden centre or a supermarket for many people.
Yes. Yeah, who knew? Yeah. Who knew going to the supermarket would be a trip? People are getting dressed up now.
Yeah, that's the highlight of the week. That's the only place we've got to go, Chris. I get my little boy's outfit on knowing that we're going out to the supermarket.
Done your hair all nice. Yeah, no, I can see it. I can picture it.
I mean, is it in terms of emotions, if we go into the psychology of it, which I'm sure you think about a lot, if you've been able to think about the other things, I'm sure this area is something that you hear or discuss a lot. What about triggering an emotional response in a consumer by, I don't know, a different colour on a packet? So let's say tea has always been labelled with a green or red label type of thing. Is there actual research in that emotions are triggered by the colours and the packaging?
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. So there's two things there that are going to be triggering emotions and perceptions, because that's what it's about. Is what does that? So straight away, they want to say, what does this product say to you? I mean, there's lots of things written on every single different product. So, you know, that's an opportunity to communicate what their brand, what their product does and represents. But colour is also another really powerful tool in that. Mm. So, yeah, we've got, you know, we've got words that are going to be triggering us, you know, healthy, natural, goodness, all of these things. And suddenly you go, right, this is speaking to me, this product, this product, I trust it already. And then the colour will reinforce that. So, you know, green would represent sort of, you know, fresh, nature, healing. You know, your browns, you know, it's quite simple, it's quite basic, we sort of trust it. Black is sophisticated and aspirational, as is pink. Yellow is optimistic and happy and light and vibrant. You know, red is passion, is energy. Purple is luxurious again, you know. So yeah, all of these, they're like, and there will be teams of people doing some serious research, you know, up and down the country, all over the world, about, you know, what colors, what emotions they evoke in us. Because ultimately, you know, food, eating is an emotional thing. Shopping, you know, it's what do I fancy, what do I want, you know, what's good, what, you know, that's the sort of mindset you go into a shop with in some instances. So they're just going to say, right, okay, look, this product is, if you want energy, if you want to be at the top of your game, if you want to be fresh, if you want to be, you know, alert, this product's for you. If you're, you know, if you have, you know, delusions of grandeur and you want to, you know, show off and you, you know, da da da, this product's for you, whatever, you know. So it's, yeah, all these things, you know, they all do different, all these colors do different things, these packaging, you know, what the packaging's made of, you know, it's an enormous industry, absolutely enormous.
It's crazy. It's all subliminal as well, because obviously we have no idea. We're going in and like, I want to go pick up a, you know, the famous chocolate bar, and it's in a purple wrapper. Obviously that means it's luxurious, like you said, the color purple.
Absolutely. But yeah, CDM they call that in the business.
Yeah. Exactly. It's almost it almost goes to show that they need to have an education system in place, I reckon, in schools when it comes not just to the nutrition of food, but definitely how it's marketed and how it's perceived. Because I've got this one family member, Chris, that I'm not going to say who because I don't want to embarrass them, but they're a sucker for a buy one, get one free or an offer. And they'll go into the supermarket and perhaps it's those colours that are on displays or it's the offer signs, and they'll come home with so much stuff that they did not need, and they definitely didn't need to eat it all, and they will, and it's linked to this, it's linked to a psychological thing. But offers aren't always the best thing in the world, are they, in a supermarket?
Well, I mean, this sort of goes back to one of my initial points, that we have to sort of go into these establishments with our eyes wide open and be aware that we are entering a business. Like, you wouldn't, we wouldn't do the same, you know, if you go into a garage to get your car fixed, you know, your guard is up a bit. You're a bit, you know, you have a little, you know, your tyres need doing, but I'll do you a deal on four tyres. Well, hold on. Do they all need doing? Like, how long have I got left? Like, you know, I'm not changing them for no reason, you know, and we go into different environments and we've got different mindsets, but we have this implicit trust of a supermarket, or, you know, many of us do at least. So yeah, you're right. We sort of see these offers and go, well, whoa, they're doing, they're trying to do me a favor, they're trying to save me some money, they're trying to, you know, make my life better and easier. It's like, no, they're not, they're trying to make money, and that's fine, that is fine, that's what they're there for. But we have to be aware, we have to exercise that element of caution. Buy one, get one free, or buy one, get one half price, or, you know, they're £2, buy two for £3. So that's it, that's a really good example here. So this is the question now. If you wanted, say your purple chocolate bar.
Yes.
That you may or may not be a fan of, you know, within moderation and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But there's, it's £2 for one bar, or you can buy two for £3. Are you saving a pound, or are you spending an extra pound?
So true. It's so true. It's two ways of looking at it. Yeah, you're spending more money that you wouldn't have actually needed to in the first place.
Exactly. And in lots of cases, that's fine. So say it's a product like your bar of chocolate that actually next week you would have bought one anyway.
Yeah.
And you will, you can exercise some control, and you're not going to eat double the amount this week, and you will just put it in the cupboard so you don't have to buy it next week. You have saved yourself a pound. But if you buy the two to save yourself that pound, eat them both, or in some cases where it's more perishable, one of them goes in the bin, you haven't saved yourself any money whatsoever. You have just wasted money. So there are lots of, there are lots of ways of making these deals work for you. You know, utilizing your freezer, batch cooking, you know, long life, long shelf life products that, that, you know, you will, I mean, like tin tomatoes. If there's a deal on tin tomatoes or passata, go for your life, or baked beans, or pasta or rice, because... Yeah. Listen, that's not going to end up in the bin, hopefully, you know, and, you know, the chances of you getting round to using it before, you know, the sell by date or the use by date expires, then that's fine. And you have saved yourself some money, and you have sort of, you've made the system work for you. But what lots of us are doing, you're going, oh, wow, that's good. Without any sort of idea as to whether you will get round to eating that extra, or whether you need it, or whether you need it this week, or whether it is a good deal for you. So I think you have to, you know, it's each case on its own merit. Sometimes they are a deal.
Yeah.
Sometimes they are a bargain. Sometimes they're not. So it's just about, you know, each case on its own merit, and just sort of, again, having that slight, you know, only slight. I don't want people sort of walking around a supermarket terrified, thinking they're trying to, you know, hoodwink me. Oh my God, I can't see the wood for the trees. Like, you know, it's still a fairly, you know, a sensible, you know, serene environment. You know,
serene. Don't worry. Well, this is just it. This is where I want to go deeper on the psychological stuff now, Chris, because surely the state of mind that you enter the supermarket with is going to dictate what we buy. And is that why they put the flower displays by the front entrance? Because often they're there and I see them when I walk in and I think, oh, how lovely, lovely flowers. Is that a trick?
It certainly sets the tone for your shop.
It does.
You know, the first thing because really they should be the last thing that you see. Exactly. I mean, really, you don't want your fruit and veg being at the bottom of your trolley. You certainly don't want any flowers being at the bottom of your trolley. The flowers, they would say, look, some people just need to rush in and grab a bunch and rush out. So that would sort of be their justification for that. But it definitely, you know, it's low displays. So you walk in, you know, the fruit and veg displays are normally a lower display. So you're not walking in straight away, your eyesight, your eye line isn't broken. So you know, you walk in, it's a bit more spacious, a bit more open, it's a bit more light. Then you've got all the beautiful colours and the fresh produce and the flowers, and then suddenly it is that's an uplifting thing. You know, if you walk straight into the freezer section, maybe your mood may be slightly different and your shopping experience may be slightly shorter.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you said you don't want the fresh flowers at the bottom of the supermarket, but that also applies, I guess, for the shelf life of products, in the sense that you don't want to buy something that you have to consume very, very quickly. So let's talk about those dates on packets and how long things last for, because okay, so we've covered mental state of things, colours on foods, perceptions, all that sort of thing, what the supermarket are trying to sell versus what you need. What about the time frames? Like, do we actually need these best before dates or use before?
So, yes and no.
Again, yes and no. I love this. This is great. This is what we love.
Just give me a straight. I'm like a politician. I should get into politics. Well, it isn't, you know. They serve a purpose, of course they do. And they're, in some instances, they're being phased out, actually. And what you will see in fruit and veg or fresh produce now is you don't have a use by, you have a best before. So if I just quickly go, I don't know if it would be beneficial to your listeners to just quickly run through the different dates that you may see.
Honestly, it's so helpful.
So you have display until or sell by. Okay, that's none of our business. That's none of our concern. That is a retailer's way of managing and monitoring their stock to make sure that there is enough shelf life in the product to sit on the shelf for a bit longer and to give us, the consumer, enough time to consume it at home.
Yeah.
So that's an internal date. I mean, it can give you an indication, you know, if that's today or whatever, then the shelf life will be shorter. But use sort of display until or sell by is an internal date.
Right.
Then best before. So best before isn't a food safety issue. Best before is the food manufacturer or producer will categorically commit to the product tasting as good as it should up until that date. Like this box of cornflakes until the 2nd of December will taste exactly as you would expect them to, exactly as we expect them to, exactly as they should. Perfect. This is perfect up until that date. Beyond that, we don't know. They will be fine still. You won't be able to tell the difference, I'm sure, as long as you've stored them correctly, stored them in an airtight container or whatever, you know. But it's not a food safety issue.
Yeah.
So if it's best before, you can go beyond that date safe in the knowledge that it's okay. It may lose some of its texture, it may lose some of its flavor, it may lose some of its freshness, maybe, but that's very subjective and quite minor, to be honest, but it's safe. Then the use by date. Now this is a safety issue, okay?
Yeah.
And in some instances, on some products, I think it should definitely be adhered to. Meat, fish, dairy,
you
know, some higher risk foods. The use by date is a safety issue. You know, there was a time before use by dates, and I think people managed perfectly well. I think they'll sort of, you know, get it out, give it a sniff, or cook it and try it.
Yeah.
But I certainly couldn't advocate that on your podcast. So we will exercise caution and say, beyond a use by date, that is a safety issue, and you should sort of take heed of that.
Yeah, that's so.
So
helpful,
that's the only
Chris,
one you need to really worry yourself with, the use by date. And if you freeze something before its use by date, it's perfectly safe. Still.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, something like fresh produce, I mean, I've seen butternut squash. This is, so we're phasing out use by dates on them because it's very subjective. It's a very low risk food category. So we're saying best before.
Yeah.
So we're phasing use by dates out on fresh produce. Yeah. And actually it's pretty much gone now. So we use best before because it's a low risk food category. We can say that, you know, this apple up until this date is going to be crisp. It's going to be zingy. It's going to be tangy. It's going to be, you know, exactly as you want. Beyond that, we don't know. It will lose some of its freshness, some of its crispness, some of its texture, some of its flavour, some of its nutrients, you know, to nod to your world. But it's perfectly safe and absolutely fine. And then I think we need to be exercising more judgment. So I've seen butternut squash or sweet potatoes with, in the olden days, a use-by date of like 2 or 3 days, knowing full well that that butternut squash would be perfectly fine 6 months later. But some people are looking at that and go, oh no, that's no good today. I'm going to put it in the bin.
Yeah, and that's where you see all the waste. It's because people confuse the best before date with the actual safety element, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some people in particular are very nervous about it. Yes. You know, I've worked with some families that are really, you know, even approaching that date, it's going in the bin.
Yeah.
So now there's two issues here. So one is, I would say, exercise a degree of caution and common sense. My motto is do what your grandparents would have done, you know. And if they wouldn't have thrown it away, you don't need to. And, you know, in certain things, you know, potatoes, if there's like a sprout, or it's gone a bit, you know, green, or you know, there's a bruise on something, whatever, or your carrot's gone a bit bendy, it's still perfectly fine to eat. It's perfectly safe. You know, it will cook really well. I mean, the thing is, the amount of carrots that get thrown away for going soft, when the majority of what they're being used for is being sort of chopped up in a sofrito, or a mirepoix, and then softened down. The first thing you do with a carrot and celery is soften it down. But yeah, if we got some out of the fridge, we'd be like, oh, that's soft and bendy, that's no good to me. Actually, it's done some of your work for you. Take less cooking. So the other issue with that is how to avoid that. So realistically, you should be going to the shop with, first, actually, let me take one step back. Before you even go to the shop, before you even put your shoes on, before you do your hair and your makeup and get your ball gown out to go to the local supermarket.
Don't forget the heels.
Of course. You should be writing a meal plan with everybody in your family. Every single person that's going to be eating these dinners, whether they're, you know, children or whatever, you say, right, what do we fancy this week? Maybe get some cookbooks out, make it fun. Right, everybody pick a meal or whatever. Da, da, da. And then you compile a list of the meals that you want to be making that week. Everybody's involved, everybody agrees. So therefore, no one can sit down on Wednesday and go, oh, spaghetti bolognese. Oh, I don't want this. It's like, well, you were there, so you had your chance.
So true. So true.
So then you write your list of meals, and then from that you take a list of ingredients that you need to make those meals. Then you take that list of ingredients, quickly whiz around your kitchen, your fridge, your freezer, your cupboards, your pantry, if you're posh, which I think you are. Do you have a pantry?
Surprisingly, I don't. I have no, I don't have a pantry, but I do have
larder.
I have a larder, yes.
There you go.
I'm halfway there.
That's good. So then you take it, you know, into your larder, and then you cross off everything you need. So, right, I've got tomato puree, I've got tinned tomatoes, yes, I've got onions, that's fine, I don't need those. And then what's not crossed off is your list, is your shopping list. That's what you need to go and buy. And then if you go and buy those things, knowing when you're going to cook it, there is no real need for the dates.
Yeah.
You know, as long as, you know, you're buying what you need to make the meals for that week, the dates become irrelevant. What we see in Eat Well for Less many, many, many times is people try and buy something with as long a shelf life as possible to try and increase the likelihood of them getting around to eating it, which is bonkers. Like, when are you going to eat that hummus? Well, I don't know. Well, don't buy it then.
You should have life lessons with Chris, not just on Eat Well for Less. Just, life lessons.
Imagine that. I don't think I'd get many repeat clients, to be honest with that.
No, but it's so invaluable. Everything that you've said is going to help our listeners no end. And because I've got loads of questions from them for you, I want to just ask you one more, Chris. And that is the fact that this false advertising, I mean, for me, it's when a product, let's say it's a granola. Let's take granola as an example.
Good example, I think.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate for this one. It's full of sugar. However, it's got a lovely field on the front cover and it says natural or in nature. Mm. There might be some squirrels on the front of the pack, you know, the sort of thing. And that can really, really appeal to people. And in disguise, it's like this dessert in disguise as a breakfast item. What about this marketing? I mean, do you see this as false advertising or do you just think it's just a clever way of just, you know, making more money, I guess?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I think it can, in some, I mean, there are lots of different products and lots of different degrees to which they do this. But yeah, I mean, I've been saying for a long time, actually, I'm more at peace with a Krispy Kreme donut or a Red Coke or even a McDonald's because, you know, like there is no surprise. If you've just eaten a Krispy Kreme donut, you know you've consumed exactly. A lot of sugar and a lot of calories.
Yeah.
No one's hoodwinked there, are they? They are, you know, up front and centre.
This is my donut.
This is what we are.
Going to eat it. Exactly.
This is it. Like, don't eat too many, but this is, we're delicious, but we are packed full of sugar and calories. But it's up to you.
Yeah.
Whereas some of these other products are outrageous.
Deceptive.
You know, like you say, they've got the image of health and nutrition and outdoors and exercise and, you know, all of these things. And then they reinforce that with words. And you know, you're right. So say granola, packed with fiber.
Mm.
That could be, you know, or even protein, added protein or you know, B vitamins or whatever. They'll tell you what, they talk about the positives, don't they? They'll
go,
this is great for, you know, healthy bones or whatever, you know, completely omitting the fact that it's got, you know, 16 grams of saturated fat, you know, 15 grams of sugar per mouthful and all of these things, you know.
Yeah.
So again, we have to be a bit more savvy and not just believe, you know, that what the marketeers and the branding companies or the products themselves want us to believe, you know, and the easiest way to look, turn the packet over,
exactly.
You know, as you do. I mean, not everything has the traffic light system, but hopefully, you know, as we go forward, you know, it will become more uniformed. It will come, you know, become the standard, hopefully. Mm. So that's that quick, you know, just glance, you know, is it red? You know, is it sort of green, amber or red? That gives me a clear indication as to where it is, ballpark figures. Also the ingredients, you know, when you look at something.
Yes.
You know, the first, you know, the ingredients are in order of volume.
Yeah, exactly.
If that makes sense. So the first ingredients will be the most prevalent. So if you're turning something over and sugar or one of those, one of the things that we can be a bit wary of within reason is very near that, the, you know, the top or the front, exercise some caution there.
Mm. 100%.
And just, yeah, don't get sort of sucked into it, really. But yeah, I mean, I'm under no illusions that we're all busy. We don't have a great deal of time. Mm. We don't really. We're probably looking at products less right now. You know, and I know you're getting dressed up and having a nice evening out in the supermarket. But actually, most of us are probably a little bit on edge now. You know, yeah. We don't want to be in there for too long.
No, we're in our tracksuits, so, most of us. Not like me, and you know, dressed to the nines.
No, I mean, it's an event for you, I understand. Yeah, you know, you've got the paparazzi there. It's a thing. It's a whole, you know. But yeah, actually, I think we're probably less inclined to maybe spend some time turning the you know, the packet round and upside down.
Exactly.
And you know, yeah, surveying the millions of different messages and all the nutritional information on there. Can I just, another quick thing, actually,
mm-hmm,
when looking at prices, so we say, read the packet, you know, check the nutritional information. That's quite important, but I understand it's not applicable. You can't do it for everything. That would be, it'd be like reading an essay every time we went to the supermarket.
Take forever.
So,
yeah.
So just try, you know, certainly if something looks too good to be true, it may well be. And maybe just sort of sanity check that by having a quick, you know, look at the traffic light system or the ingredients.
Especially for children, I think you're buying for children, Chris. I mean, that's what's really deceiving. I've only noticed it because I'm working with a company called Little Freddy's who do children's pouches. And it's scary, the amount of stuff, like the quality of ingredients and, you know, what has a better quality source of protein near the top versus near the bottom, and they're making a claim for protein on the front. It's really worrying, actually. There's a lot of ins and outs, aren't there, going on.
Well, I'll tell you something that needs to be stopped right now as well, and I think it's disgusting that it's even allowed. So, the nutritional information on a packet, am I right in saying that's for a woman? Is that correct?
So they use the average adult. So most of the time it's a male. How wrong is that?
So that's wrong, isn't it? That shouldn't be. So we need to be careful. And with children, so I've seen products that are marketed, they don't say children on it. They don't sell children, but it's got a childlike cartoony character on it. You know, the colouring, the product, the what, you know, it's like a snacky thing, whatever. You know, it's definitely, if it doesn't overtly say children's snack, but it is definitely aimed at children. But all the nutritional information on that packet is for an adult, which is outrageous.
I know. There's a lot that has to happen. I think there's a lot that Public Health England have to do, alongside working with the manufacturers, working with product development. Basically, I wish there was more being done on this, Chris. I spend my life kind of fighting all this type of stuff, and it's a minefield. And again, it all comes down to cost as well, doesn't it? Which is why, I mean, just to quickly move on to some of the questions from our listeners so I can fit them in, because Grace has asked, how can I keep the cost down? Is it better that I shop little and often? But perhaps Grace is also seeing these products marketed, you know, in that way, and she's going for those as well, not knowing that they're full of sugar and recommended for adults. But it's just a mess.
It is a mess. So what's that lady's name?
Grace.
So, it depends. So, it depends where you're shopping. So, you know, there's been a trend. We've moved away from that one big weekly shop, or we certainly had, you know, COVID has changed things for us. But we were doing that big shop less and less. And actually we were doing more small, more frequent shops, which is fine, which is okay. Both of those systems can work when done well.
Yeah.
And both of those systems can work against you if done badly. So if you are going to your small supermarket to do these quick, frequent shops, the likelihood is you're going to be spending more money. Some of those smaller shops, because they've got different cost structures, they have a much, much reduced range. Actually, sometimes they can be up to 30% dearer on some things. So yeah, actually, in principle, buying less more often in principle should mean you're throwing less away, but it also could mean you're spending slightly more money in the beginning. So you have to be careful. But if you want to save money, I promise you, this is it. And I have spent, you know, more time watching people shop than I think probably anywhere else in the country, to be honest, after 8 years of Eat Well for Less. I mean, it's a niche hobby.
Yeah.
But
perfect guest for this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have been disappointed if it wasn't me. Yeah. If I'd have tuned into this and there'd have been someone else, I'd have been livid. But yeah, the advice is quite simple. Meal plan, write a list, you know, only stick to that list as much as you can, you know, try not to deviate from it too much. And then you shouldn't go too far wrong. That's the way to bring the cost of your shop down. Utilize your leftovers, you know, batch cook, you know, fall in love. Your freezer is your best friend in reducing your shopping bill and reducing your food waste, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we need to utilize our freezer as much as humanly possible. And that's the way to sort of bring your food shop down and analyze it as well. Go through it and look and try some cheaper alternatives. You know, these big brands are much more expensive and in most cases, you can't tell the difference. So, you know, try a different brand, try a supermarket own brand, you know, maybe even try changing your shop where you actually shop, you know, but definitely meal plan and write a list. Yeah.
Which is good advice. And actually, Bianca has asked you, Chris, she said with COVID, and this is obviously a spanner thrown in the works completely, she said items aren't always available, often leaving only the most expensive. Do you think prices will come down? Like, how have you navigated or seen the navigation of this year when it comes to that type of thing?
So that's really, so I think certainly in the beginning, in the initial lockdown, that happened. That 100% happened. There's two things here. So they had to reduce, they called them SKUs, product lines. Yeah, they had to reduce them. They had to, because they couldn't cope. So one way to become more efficient and to make sure that the system is running at its optimum is by, instead of having 10,000 product lines or 100,000 product lines, as it probably is narrow that right down, which means you can buy, you know, you have more space to fill it with fewer products. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You can buy more of less different items. Does that make sense? Have I articulated that okay?
Yeah, I mean, you eat well for less, you buy more for less. It kind of makes sense in a way if you buy the right
things. So instead of having 10,000 different products that you've got to stock, if you reduce that down to, say, 5,000, you can have twice the amount of each of those items. So the likelihood of you running out is lower, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more efficient. So they had to do that. But yeah, they took out all the cheaper products, didn't they?
Yeah.
And we were left with very expensive, in most cases, multi-buys, which was really hard, you know. I think things are sort of as close to normal as they can be. But again, I think it depends on whether you're doing your shop online or whether you're going in. Shopping online, I think, can be a great tool because actually you can spend a bit more time doing it. Mm. You can price check a bit more. You could maybe, and then I suppose it comes down to if there's only a very expensive version of something, maybe do you really need it this week? Can you do without it? Can you wait to see whether the next one comes in? But I know there are some challenges and some of them don't have a solution as such, really, other than sort of shop around, maybe try and find an alternative supermarket or an alternative product, or maybe if you can live without it, I don't know. I mean, in the case of nappies, that might be quite hard. But if it's like a luxury item, you know, just your favorite crisps or something, maybe you could just, you know, skip it for a week until hopefully they come back in line in price.
Yeah. And there's been a resurgence of cooking this year, which is one of the few positives, obviously, that have come out of the crazy kind of pandemic year that we've had. Right, Chris, fact or fiction round. I'm going to move on to that. Are you prepared? Are you ready?
I think I am, yeah.
Okay, you have to answer fact or fiction to the following questions. Right. Shopping online is cheaper.
fiction, because it should be the same price.
Okay. Free range and organic are the same.
Fiction.
You'll get less sidetracked if you have a list.
Fact, 100% fact.
Spoken about that a lot today. We're more thoughtful about food than previous generations.
Oh, crikey. Yes and no. Fact and fiction. What's amalgamation of fact and fiction?
Faction. Love that. Since COVID, we're spending more on each shop.
Fact.
Samples in store don't change buying behaviour.
Fiction.
Brexit will see food prices increase.
Fact.
Major fact. Cake is an essential food item, so has no VAT.
Fact.
For popular food items, there is at least 5 brands available.
Fact.
How you shop is influenced by the store's entrance.
Fact.
Well done, Chris. On it. That was great.
But do you tell me if I'm right? How many did I get? I think I got them all right.
I don't have the answers if they're right or wrong. I can't remember when I wrote them down.
They're subjective anyway, aren't they? But I think I did okay. I'm pleased. See, the thing is, say it with conviction. Doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong.
It's so true. It's so true. Or say a faction and it always works.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, in the middle. Yeah.
That does nearly wrap up the episode. I'm really gutted because this has been such a great chat. But we always finish, Chris, with a food for thought. And I'll kickstart today by saying that I think one of the most valuable take-homes from today is obviously that the supermarket is this undercover Black Mirror type experiment going on, but no. What I think really, what we do need to really focus on is shopping for things that we need rather than what we don't need. And that is actually an art. It's almost a learned behaviour, I think. In Western society, when we're very fortunate, we have access to plenty, you know. Obviously, there's still a big discrepancy, even in the UK, for people's budgets and their income, but we do have access to more food than lots of countries around the world on our shop shelves. We're incredibly lucky. But we need to start looking at how we can do this ethically, I think. And instead of zigzagging all over the supermarket like I do in my heels every morning, perhaps... By the way, just to everyone listening, I hope you know that Chris and I are joking. Like, I hope you don't go away from this episode thinking that I literally doled myself up.
It's a fact. Are we still playing fact or fiction? It's a fact.
You're not allowed. There's cheating now.
I've seen.
My tip, I think, would be just have a snack before you go out, because I do know for a fact that if you're hungry, it's too much. If you're hungry when you go to the supermarket, you're more likely to buy things you don't need. Chris, if you want to give our listeners a take-home message today, what would that be?
Yeah, so just to reiterate what I've said before, really, it's, I think we need to make a budget. I think we should all benefit from a budget. That you wouldn't do anything else without a budget. I think if you've got your food bill annually, you would do everything within your power to reduce it. But because it's in dribs and drabs and lots of small amounts spread out over, you know, a long period of time, we don't feel it as much, but it's an extraordinary amount of money. And it's probably either higher, as high, or just below your rent or mortgage, is, you know, your annual food bill. So I think anything you can do to reduce that would be incredible. I think we have to look at the environmental impact of our food. I think we need to try and make sure that we're reducing the amount of single-use plastic we have with our food, where you can afford to, and not everybody has the luxury, you know, make sure that the highest sort of welfare standards are being adopted. And on a completely separate note, away from food, I find today quite concerning in the sense that we've become very divisive. And I think irrelevant of what's happening in Whitehall or Parliament or wherever, I think as long as we're all nice and kind and happy and considerate to everybody else, none of that matters. You know, Brexit doesn't matter. You know, all this sort of stuff, you know, everything will be okay if we all stick together and we're all kind and we all support each other. So I think that's the most important thing, which I know isn't a food related thing, but I sort of end every talk saying that now, because I think it's important for people to hear that we're all the same.
I couldn't agree more. I think we've become so isolated sometimes that we forget about other people, and we need to act as a community more. And I do feel that we have lost that type of outlook on life. And we didn't even touch on the plastic thing enough in this episode, but it's so important, if you can, to buy loose products. You know, there's no harm in buying a carrot outside of a plastic wrapper. It's totally safe to eat. There's lots of different elements there, but ultimately, like Chris said, kindness is the way forward. Be kind. Chris, that was an absolute pleasure, and like you said, the number one guy to go to learn all things supermarket. Thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love what's coming next week. So make sure that you click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And if you have the time to, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review so that we can reach higher highs in the charts, and hopefully that will help us reach more and more people. For more information about My Retrition Clinic, the books, healthy recipes, and so much more, please do visit retrition.com. And you can follow me on social media at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.